Because by certainly I'm so freed from material contamination. Pasha jasi avayo our gatim factual position. Translation. Sometimes you think yourself a man, sometimes a chaste woman, and sometimes a neutral eunuch. This is all because of the body, which is created by the illusory energy. This illusory energy is my potency, and actually, both of us, you and I, are pure spiritual identities. Now just try to understand this. I am trying to explain our factual position. Would you repeat after me? Sometimes you think yourself a man. Sometimes a chaste woman. And sometimes a neutral eunuch. This is all because of the body, which is created by the illusory energy. This illusory energy is my potency. And actually both of us, you and I, are pure spiritual identities. Now just try to understand this. I am trying to explain our factual position. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The factual position of both the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entity is qualitatively one. The Supreme Lord is the Supreme Spirit, the Supersoul, and the living entity is the individual Supreme Soul. And the living entity is the individual spiritual soul. Even though both of them are original spiritual identities, the living entity forgets his identity when he comes in contact with material nature and becomes conditioned. At such a time, he identifies himself as a product of the material nature. Because of this, the material body, he forgets that he is the eternal, Sanatana, part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is confirmed in this way, Mamaivamsho Jivaloke Jivabhuta Sanatana. The word Sanatana is found in several places in Bhagavad Gita. Both the Lord and the living entity are Sanatana, eternal. And there is also a place known as Sanatana, beyond this material nature. The real residence of both the living entity and God is the domain of Sanatana, not this material world. The material world is the temporary, external energy of the Lord. And the living entity is placed in this material world because he wants to imitate the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this material world, he tries to enjoy his senses to his best capacity. All the activities of the conditioned soul within this material world are perpetually taking place in different types of bodies. But when the living entity acquires developed consciousness, he should try to rectify his situation and again become a member of the spiritual world. The process by which one can return home back to Godhead is bhakti yoga, sometimes called Sanatana Dharma. Instead of accepting a temporary occupational duty based on the material body, one should take to the process of Sanatana Dharma or Bhakti Yoga so that he can put an end to this perpetual bondage in material bodies and return home back to Godhead. As long as human society works on the basis of false material identification, All the so-called advancements of science and philosophy are simply useless. They only serve to mislead human society. Anda yathanadaya upaniyamanaha. In the material world, the blind simply lead the blind. The translation again. Sometimes you think yourself a man, and sometimes a chaste woman, and sometimes a neutral eunuch. This is all because of the body, which is created by the illusory energy. This illusory energy is my potency, and actually both of us, you and I, are pure spiritual identities. Now just try to understand this. I am trying to explain our factual position. So here the Brahmana, talking to the aggrieved daughter of Vidarbha, represents the super soul, speaking to the conditioned living entity who is in a state of distress in the material world. So here Krishna is inviting the living entity to come back to him. Sometimes it takes this kind of distress to make the living entity listen. It takes the renunciation that automatically follows disappointment and suffering in material existence. Sometimes that is there. There's a period of renunciation. So in this state, when a living entity realizes that all his attempts for independent satisfaction, separate from the Supreme Lord, are failures, he's ready to give up his dishonest life in the material world, become honest again, become truthful, and therefore he can hear the truth. So here, immediately the super soul is there. Out of his endless compassion and love for the living entity, to invite him back. He says, actually both of us, you and I, are pure spiritual identities. In this way, he is inviting the living entity to come back to restore himself to his factual position. He says, I'm trying to explain, this is our factual position. You've been separated from me. You've gone far away. You've become mistaken about who you are. But now I want to tell you this. We're very, very close. We're both of us pure spiritual identities. And if you come to your pure spiritual identity in that condition, we can associate. Krishna is spirit. And we're also spirit. But now our identity has become submerged in matter. We've become the victim of illusion, whereby we have acquired a false ego, that is, a false conception of who we are. I am the enjoyer and I am the controller. And as a consequence of that identity, I am this body. Because this false conception, I am the enjoyer, I am the controller, that conception cannot exist in Krishna consciousness. Because Krishna consciousness means the intense, continual awareness that Krishna is the enjoyer and Krishna is the controller. So as soon as I want to think I am the enjoyer and I am the controller, then immediately there's Maya, there's forgetfulness of Krishna and the assumption of a false identity. When there is Krishna consciousness, Krishna is the enjoyer, Krishna is the controller. My own identity is, I am the servant of Krishna. But as soon as I think I am the enjoyer, I am the controller, then my real identity as servant goes, and I have to acquire a false sense of self, a different position. So that's afforded by matter, by this illusory potency, the illusory energy, where I take on different bodies with which I identify myself. Well, this is matter. It comes and it goes. It's not sanatana. It's not eternal. It has a beginning and it has an end. So I'm forced to take up different positions all the time and get all involved in all the activities. Sometimes a man, sometimes a woman, sometimes both, eunuch. This is going on. And in this way, I undergo my various adventures in the material world, all of which each episode ends with death. Like when I was a kid, we used to see this. They used to show, this is before television, I can remember, at least before television came to the little backwater I lived in Oklahoma. So we used to go to the movies on Saturday, all the kids. They used to sell a serial. And one episode, this kept you coming. It only cost a dime, but they got your dime every Saturday. This episode of Batman, Rocket Man, various ones we used to see. So each episode ended with a cliffhanger. Looked like Batman was going to be crushed to death. Between the walls were closing in and they had spikes, and he was going to die. And then so he came back next week to see how he got out. He always got out, and the episode kept on going. Well, each episode in human life, or in the material world, is like that. But in the end, you die. You don't find a crowbar to, you know, shove between the walls or whatever and escape. You die. But then you get another body to continue the next episode. And it keeps going on and on and on and on and on. This serial lives, one after another, serial identities. So there's grief at the end for everybody. On the basis of this, I am this body, we try to pursue our happiness. We're pleasure-seeking entities. That's our nature. But we're seeking pleasure under these hellish conditions of repeated birth and death. It's just not possible. It just doesn't work. We are here, sanatana, we're eternal. Therefore, our natural inclination is not to want to die, to have a permanent situation. But we're just like trying to find a permanent situation in the material world is like building a house of cards in a hurricane. Just doesn't work. So in this way, people are trying. The amount of human effort that goes into the simple thing of trying to live well in this material world is extraordinary. The amount of talent, the amount of ability, the amount of effort, just to make a living is unimaginable. And yet whatever is done is over very soon. So therefore, everyone is suffering. It's not possible for it to be otherwise, living here in this material world under the universal penalty of death. It's all death row. The conditions for actual happiness are not there. So the only chance we have, the chance we have here at the human form of life, as Prabhupada says, is that here we can acquire developed consciousness. The nature of the false ego is that it limits and narrows consciousness of who we are. It becomes contaminated, like light streaming through a stained glass. It takes on various colorations. So although consciousness is there, our consciousness is there, it is not fully developed. It's a narrowly focused, distorted being. So when consciousness again begins to develop, then more and more the living entity begins to realize that he is eternal, that his consciousness is permanent, and that he has a life of bliss in this condition. In that spiritual identity, we can associate with Krishna. Krishna can be compared to a fire. And we want to enter into that fire of Krishna. So if you go close to a fire at a certain point, you have to stay back, because the fire is hot. There's a contrast in your natures. So that's why in material condition of life we cannot approach spirit. We cannot associate with Krishna. But if you become fire, then you can enter into the fire. So actually we originally are fire. Krishna is spiritual and we're spiritual. So our business is to revive this original spiritual consciousness. And when we're acting in that consciousness, then once again we can associate with Krishna. We can enter into our actual place. Instead of wandering around out here in the wilderness, we can go back to the original home where we belong. So that requires that we become also spiritual, sanatana. And so the Lord is reminding us, this illusory energy is my potency, and actually both of us, you and I, are pure spiritual identities. Now just try to understand this. I'm trying to explain our factual position. We're pure spiritual identities. So this is the first proposal of Vedic knowledge, Veda, that I am not this body. That's what it means to say that I am spirit or I am not matter, is to say I'm not this body. This body, actually there's two bodies. I'm not this gross body that we see functioning, and I'm not the subtle body, mind, intelligence, false ego. This is the subtle body. And beyond that, there's me, the soul, my identity. I am the seer in this body, because I can witness. I'm the witness here. I am the seer, and I see outside of myself. What I see is something else, is the not me. I can see and I can feel my gross body working. I can witness through my instruments. I can witness, first of all, this outside world. Is my body, which I identify as myself. Here in gross material consciousness, I say, this is me, and the boundary between the me and the not me is somewhere here along the rim of this skin. But then, we can push back further. That what else do I see? Well, actually, I'm witness the actions of my own body. My eyes are seeing, and I'm conscious of my eyes seeing. My hands and legs are feeling. And I'm conscious of my body, my hands, my legs, my various senses, my stomach rumbling around, my peristaltic motion going through the intestines, all these things I'm conscious of, twinges, pains, pleasures, all that stuff flooding up to me. I'm conscious of my body from the inside. So that's the not me. So then I may think, go back one step further, well, then I'm the mind that thinks and feels and wills. But again, I'm conscious of that. I can detach myself and I can watch the desires and the feelings and the actions of my mind, of the subtle body. So finally we get down to just the pure witness, the seer. Who is it that witnesses all this? Who sees the outside world, who sees the environment, who is aware of the gross body, who is aware of the subtle body? Who is this seer? That consciousness is me. So in this way, Vedic knowledge gives us, this is not, this clear understanding of who I am is not present, to my knowledge, in any spiritual literature from the West. There also, introspective sages have tried to find out the self. But almost always, there's a confusion or a melding between the soul and the subtle body. This is known as the mental platform, when this is there. But here we know, this is me. This consciousness, that is the symptom of the presence of the soul. This consciousness does not ever end. Of course, now it seems to flicker because there's a dirty smoke around it. It's like sometimes if you're in a dirty industrial area, the sunlight will appear to be coming and going, undergo various changes. But actually, the sun is there. So our consciousness also is not as steady as it should be. But then when we begin to actually engage in the process of returning of Sanatana Dharma, the activities of the eternal soul, when we begin to practice Krishna consciousness, then the consciousness itself begins to come out. And those upadis, those limiting conditions which cause us to be mistaken about who we are, they begin to go away. And then our consciousness and the soul begins to become established in his own real nature. That's experiential. Everything Krishna consciousness is a process for changing ourselves back into what we are. It's not for the recreation of armchair philosophers, Prabhupada said. It's for the formation of character. So by this process, there's experience. Pratyakshamam avagamam, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Pratyaksha, it gives direct perception of the self by realization. The Sanskrit word pratyaksha means right before the eyes, direct perception. So by engaging ourselves in the process of bhakti yoga under some expert guidance, then we can undergo the necessary changes. So what is that process? We want to be reintroduced to the activities of the spirit soul. If I'm a spiritual entity, I have to know how to act like a spiritual entity. So this is what this Krishna consciousness does. It reintroduces us to the activities, the natural activities of the soul. And the natural activity of the soul is to serve the Supreme Soul. That service is what unites us. That's yoga. That's the link. We're linked to Krishna through service. As long as we're not serving Krishna, but trying to make ourselves the center of existence and serve ourselves, then we're not linked with Krishna. Or rather, our link is indirect and not very favorable for us. For everything's linked in some way or another to Krishna. That has to be there. But when I begin to serve Krishna, then my link becomes direct. And I am taken from out of the jurisdiction of the external potency of Maya and put into the jurisdiction of the internal potency. See, my sanatana nature, my eternal nature, is to be the servant of Krishna. It can't be changed. I can't change it. Krishna can't change it. It's eternal. I'm his servant. Like it or not, I'm his servant. That's our essence. It's swarup. You can't change it. You can't take it away. That's what we really are. And what we're doing now is we're in a big fight. We're in Maya. Illusion. Because we're denying the reality. The reality is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and I am his servant. And we say, no way, I don't buy it. But you're going up against the absolute truth. And just because our thinking so doesn't change it so. So we're in rebellion. Not only are we in rebellion against Krishna, we're rebellion against ourselves. We're rebellion against reality. That means we're very messed up. Psychologically, on the material platform, sometimes you meet people who are in rebellion against reality. They're known as neurotics and psychotics. They're messed up people. And they have to get straightened out. Well, everyone in the material world is basically a psychotic. That's what it says. We're an illusion. We're crazy. Because we're in rebellion against reality. We don't want to accept what we are. And we can't change it either. It cannot be changed. You cannot make yourself into God. So we have our part. We are part of the Godhead. That's a fact. And we have our place within the absolute truth, which is our eternal place. But that is that we are the eternal servitor, and Krishna is the eternal served. So we have to recognize this reality. But now we don't want to recognize, so we are under the control. It's not that we can get out of Krishna's control. That's not possible. To get out of Krishna's control. But we go under the control of the external potency, or Maya, or material nature. And through that external potency, we get different bodies in terms of which we have to act. Male, female, eunuch. And with that body, there's the different modes of material nature. And basically, we're being carried along like puppets. Of the material energy, forcing to change bodies, forcing to undergo various experiences, forcing to accept the results of our activities, whether we like them or not. So this is our way of being controlled by Krishna. Of course, our thought is that I can get control of the situation. I can somehow or other, if I get enough money, or enough power, or enough prestige, then I can be in control of the situation. And that's what they're all struggling to do. And just watch. Just see how little control people are having. Just see the state of this world with so many people controlling so much. with huge assembly lines and microchips and systems analysis and all these things, still nobody can control. Big, complicated mechanism of interlocking international corporations, oil moving all around the world in various patterns in great big ships on which the whole economy of the whole world is dependent. And these little guys in speedboats in the Persian Gulf running out messing up the whole show. Nobody can control. The United States thought it had everything in control, and then just because, you know, the Shah of Iran checked out of town, that was the whole thing fell apart. You think everybody's got it under control, and then there's something like, you know, human immunodeficient virus, number one, causes AIDS. Now, I read in the newspaper yesterday, there's number two coming up, popping out of Africa as a second AIDS virus. Who knows if there's three, four, five, and six waiting in the wings? No one knows. You can't control. In fact, the more you try to control, the more it actually gets out of your control. The more you try to get on top of it, the more entangled you get. So out of being in control, trying to control more and more, we've developed big industrial societies. And now agriculture has become industrialized, so you can't grow crops without dependence on factories and machines. So the day comes when the whole shaky structure is going to collapse and nobody's going to be able to eat. But if you just had your 10 acres and a cow, no matter what happened, you could go on eating. Anyway, this is the difficulty. You're not in control. Krishna's in control. So when we are willing to accept this fact, we're willing to say, yes, Krishna, I agree. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'm your eternal servant. Please engage me in your service. And we accede to that, then we move into the internal potency. And we become controlled by Krishna directly and favorably. When we have that attitude, Krishna makes the arrangement that we meet his servant who can instruct us, just as this Brahmana is instructing the queen here. Tell you, now let me explain to you what the factual position is. You are the servant of Krishna. And in that way, if we act under the order being passed down through the chain of spiritual masters, then we are engaged in Krishna service. As soon as we are serving Krishna directly and favorably, that means we are in the internal potency. Factually, we are free from material nature. We are acting like a spirit soul. And we become spiritual. We become spiritualized. Even in this material body. This material body, you can go either way. We can use this material body, this human form of life, for sense gratification. This is the nice thing about a human body. I can engage this body like any other animal for sense gratification. But I can also use this body for Krishna service. My cat or dog can't use their body in Krishna service. Exclusively sense gratification. But the human body I can use for Krishna service. And it becomes spiritual also. The more we merge into devotional service, the more we engage ourselves and immerse ourselves in Krishna consciousness, we become free from the effects of material nature. We become spiritualized. Just like, take to use the fire example again, Prabhupada gives the example, you may take iron and put it in the fire. So iron is one thing, fire is another thing. But if you leave that iron in the fire, it gets hot, hotter, hotter, hotter. And then it glows cherry red. And pretty soon, for all practical purposes, it's fire. So similarly, a living entity in a human form of life, fully dedicated to Krishna service, becomes for all practical purposes, fully spiritual being, and is actually immune from the control and the ill effects of material nature. So this takes place, this process by which one can return home back to God. It is bhakti yoga, sometimes called Sanatana Dharma. So that's the real Dharma. We may have different Dharmas based on the material body, temporary things. Because I'm a male, I have to act one way. A female, I have to act another way. Brahman, I have to act one way. Shudra, I have to act another way. That's just in terms of the body. That's not important. What's important is everybody, every human being, can engage in Sanatana Dharma. It's open. It's available to everyone who wishes to get out of, use the human form of life for its real business and get out of this material world. So this is what we're here for. We're servants of Lord Chaitanya. To enter into spiritual life, we have to serve Lord Chaitanya. We're under his regime, so to speak, his era. To serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead in one age would be different from serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead in another. We go to Krishna and we say, what is your order? What do you want done? He says, well, this is Kali Yuga, and my order is that the Sankirtan movement be spread all over the world. Oh, okay. That's what I'll do. I'll engage in this business. So we know what the mission or the purpose of the Lord is. Therefore, we know what we're supposed to do. You can't say that that Prabhupada left us in any confusion about what our mission and purpose of life is or what the order of the Supreme Lord is. Now we have to take that order fully. The secret of success in spiritual life is to take the order of the spiritual master as one's life and soul. And so by that process, we engage fully in the service of Krishna, and we spread Krishna consciousness to other living entities. The most wonderful thing about Lord Chaitanya's movement is that its aim at bringing everybody back home, back to Godhead. The devotees are compassionate people and are concerned that when I go back to Godhead, just like Prahlad Maharaj said, I have no worry about myself. I can be Krishna conscious anywhere. But I'm so worried about these people who are rotting in this material world. What's going to happen to them? Who's going to help them? So this is the position of Vaishnava. Everyone you see in the material world is suffering. They may not know it. Sometimes you forget. I remember once I was sitting with some devotees taking prasadam, and there was a piece of machinery somewhere in the vicinity that was going bzzz. First everybody tried to find out what it was and stop the thing, and they couldn't. It was just going bzzz like this, horrible noise. So we were honoring prasadam and talking, and pretty soon we forgot. We didn't hear that noise anymore. We became unconscious of it. We became unconscious of it. We weren't aware of it anymore because it was going on for a long time, maybe 20 minutes. And then all of a sudden it stopped. And everybody went, that's because even though we weren't conscious of it, we were shouting loudly. We were all tense, and our nerves were on edge. And as soon as it stopped, everyone had felt immediate relief. So before, we were suffering. We were suffering a lot. But because it was so much part of the constant background of things, it wasn't in our immediate awareness. But as soon as that suffering stopped, everybody just let out a deep breath. We are all on edge. So people in the material world, they may not be conscious even of their own suffering. in their own predicament. But we know, we can see actually how much they're suffering. And our mission is to relieve them of the suffering and let them all hear the message here. As Krishna says, both of us, you and I, are pure spiritual identities. In that way, go back home, back to Godhead. Questions or comments? Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, here he's receiving instruction from the Super Soul. And he realizes that I and the Super Soul were qualitatively one. The Super Soul, there's two souls in this body. The individual soul, that's me. And there's also the Super Soul, who's very, very close. And when there's self-realization, and it's done through Krishna consciousness, then the Super Soul is also realized at the same time. And here we see this becomes clear in these texts. The Super Soul is teaching the soul and is saying, we're of the same nature, we are one. But at the same time, you see all through this, there's the teacher and there's the taught. There's one who never falls down, who's not an illusion, and there's one who is an illusion. So the Super Soul, even though he's in our body and is going with us, he never falls into illusion. He controls the material energy and we fall under its control. So he's in a position to pull us out. So when there's Krishna consciousness, there's realization that I see myself, I see Krishna, I see everything. Full realization. Okay? Other questions? Comments? Yeah? It depends. If one has taken initiation from the spiritual master, he can't say, no, I'm not going to follow the order of my spirit. That means getting control over my own life means that I accept order of the spiritual master. I don't accept anymore. Then that's falling back into the illusory energy. But within Krishna consciousness, there are many positions possible. How you serve Krishna, that may depend. There's different dharmas. There's a dharma for brahmachari life. There's a dharma for grihastha life, for example. But in both those dharmas, there's service of Krishna. So you can change within that from brahmachari to grihastha and from grihastha to sannyas. In all positions, you may be surrendered to Krishna according to that particular place. But if becoming independent means becoming independent of Krishna, then that's just Maya. Otherwise, it's all right. So one shouldn't disobey the order of the spiritual master. So I may live within this temple or I may live outside the temple. But inside or outside, the order of the spiritual master has to be followed. The temple gives you facility for following that order in one way. Because of circumstances, you may live outside, and that gives you then you should make the facility to follow that order under those circumstances. But in any case, that must be followed. Yes? as they sell outside. See, there's no shortage of anything.